Liar, liar, liar. Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn is stepping into the political ring now. And, well, he just got the backing of former Speaker Nancy Pelosi. The Blaze's Steve Baker joins me to detail all his BS. Pro-Hamas sympathizers are taking over college campuses all around the country. I'll bring you the latest. Speaker Mike Johnson was hoping you weren't paying attention over the weekend and saw him give away over $95 billion in foreign aid to countries that would never return the favor to us, of course. I'll detail the very latest. Americans are getting poorer since Joe Biden took over in the White House. Dr. Kirk Elliott joins us to discuss. All that and more on the Brianna Morello Show. Happy Monday, everyone. Welcome to tonight's program. We're so happy you're with us. I hope you all got to enjoy your weekend, of course. There was so much going on in the news cycle, and I want to make sure you guys are read into everything. So the first place I go to make sure I'm not missing any important headlines is citizenfreepress.com. Millions of Americans view CFP every single day because they want to stay in the know. So I highly recommend you do the same. Again, folks, it's citizenfreepress.com. That's where Kane and all the CFP staffers are plugging away, finding the latest headlines and making sure that you guys get a little bit of a laugh in between as well by putting in some very comical headlines of their own. And it's a great, great resource. The first thing I want to jump into, though, of course, was something that caught my attention because, well, it's kind of strange. There was this, I mean, he looks dead, but apparently this is allegedly a convicted sex offender who was just recently rearrested for attempting to kidnap a boy. Now, ultimately, what's going on here, this all took place in Colorado. He was accused of attempting to kidnap a boy at Black Forest Hills Elementary School. This is a 33-year-old man, obviously, not somebody who should be at an elementary school, looks extremely creepy. He apparently, according to them, found a man matching the description, police claim, and they immediately arrested him. But here's the interesting part in the article. So he's accused of kidnapping, attempting to kidnap a child. This is an individual who, in Colorado, apparently, you're able to kidnap or attempt to kidnap somebody, and your bond is only set at $25,000. $25,000, folks. It's pretty absurd. But then again, these politicians don't take kidnap, sexual assault. I mean, crimes against children, they don't take them seriously. Now, they go into detail also saying it wasn't clear as if he did not appear in the state sex offender registry, but court records show back in 2012 that he was convicted in Jefferson County for failing to register as a sex offender. So again, it's another gray area because they don't know if this man, I mean, the charges in itself say that he was a sex offender, but then again, he's not in the state's registry. So that's very, very interesting. Now, unfortunately, as many of you know, we don't take this as a laughing matter. I mean, this is something that's extremely serious. And the fact that this man was even feeling risky enough to try to kidnap a child is disgraceful. That's his mugshot. Again, it's by far the creepiest thing I've ever seen in my life. He looks like a zombie dead, maybe on drugs. Those are all speculation, of course, but this guy is just gross. And so thankfully he did not kidnap that child, but a $25,000 bond is what they're looking for somebody who's accused of attempting to kidnap a child, allegedly. So it's just really mind-blowing in itself. Again, folks, you got to pay attention to what's going on in your local counties because this stuff happens often and not many people realize it. And then they don't hold their politicians accountable. So I would definitely, if you live in Colorado, if you live in this area, you got to hold your politicians' feet to the fire because we need to stop allowing them to feel comfortable enough to do things like that. $25,000 for bond? Who's the judge? Now, I'm not saying you issue a threat to the judge. That's not what we're saying at all. But are they elected? If they're elected, then you got to make sure they get rid of these people because that's a joke. If it's the law that specifically states that that's all like a charge, because again, different states, I'm not familiar with Colorado law, so I can't attest to this, but you need to go after these people and hold them accountable. They need to know that we take, in this country, we take sex crimes against children and kidnappings very, very seriously. And that's what needs to be driven home here. It's never ending. It's pretty disgusting. It's pretty disturbing, but it's expected these days. I want to jump over to something else. That'll be our last story that we dive into. Let's jump over to what's going on around the country. And that's all these Ivy League schools are just showing off how trash they are. They bring in the worst kind of human beings. They brainwash them into thinking that, not all of them, of course, but they brainwash them into thinking that that they should be advocating for Hamas, and then they're doing so. And here you go. In Yale, for an example, has been 47 students who have been arrested for blocking an intersection, but it doesn't end there. You guys might have seen the story too. Ilhan Omar's daughter, her 21-year-old daughter, has been suspended by Columbia University. She claims to now be homeless and starving. I mean, obviously she's not. She was being dramatic, trying to get the headlines and get the attention and bring bad PR to Columbia. But again, she is somebody who is just a deplorable as her mother, a terrorist sympathizer, just disgusting people that you and I cannot just rationalize with. These are not level-headed folks. It's very clear. It's very obvious that they not only are they anti-Semitic, especially Ilhan Omar and her offspring, but they are just hateful people who want to advocate for groups like Hamas, who, given the opportunity, would slaughter you and I. They don't care about your political views. They don't care if you've been advocating for them. They want to kill you because they don't like you because you have disagreements. And they're even, I mean, there's videos of them talking about sacrificing their children for Allah. I mean, it's just like one of the most egregious things to connect yourself with. And yet they always seem to do on the left. And they give them a platform like MSNBC. They'll give them a platform. But I have to give credit where credit's due. And New York Governor Kathy Hochul actually stepped in. And she says in a tweet today, "This morning I went to Columbia University and with City Hall, NYPD, and the Columbia president, we had a discussion on how to fight the anti-Semitism and protect public safety," which is something that Democrats really shy away from. We see Joe Biden all the time. He's too afraid of his pro-Hamas lefties going after him and not being aggressive enough on the issue. So it's refreshing to see that Kathy Hochul, someone who I've actually never given a compliment to ever in my life, is actually sticking her neck out and backing a right cause, the right cause. Because then again, folks, they continue to say that those on the left and the pro-Hamas protesters, oh, we need a ceasefire. There was a ceasefire. It was taking place before October 7th. Hamas ruined that. Hamas is the group that was elected by those living in Gaza. So don't sit here and tell me that we have to back Hamas. We have to back all. I mean, Israel literally told those people living in Gaza to flee because they were going to retaliate against what took place on October 7th. They gave them enough time to leave, but Hamas refused to let them leave because Hamas wanted to use them as human shields because they wanted you to be apathetic to Hamas. And so they're sitting here telling you, oh, we've lost over 20,000 people. But Israel warned them to leave, and Hamas blocked that from happening. So it's always those little facts that get dropped out of everything that people want to continue to push, and it's just disgusting. But let's end this segment on a little bit of a happier note. Many of you guys might recall, sadly, there was a police officer slaughtered in New York City, an NYPD officer who was killed, Jonathan Diller. He has, sadly, a young child, and was killed by somebody who shouldn't have been on the streets, of course, because the New York Democrats, he was on the streets. He had an extensive criminal record. Apparently, when Officer Dillard did a traffic stop, he did gun him down. Barstool Sports has actually raised $1.5 million for the family, which is incredible, I have to say, because, well, not many people want to back law enforcement these days. And I'm not saying that we do a blanket backing, because I agree, what we saw during the pandemic was pretty disgusting, but we definitely need to back law enforcement when it comes to those who are being violent against them. And this is one great example of just doing that. This poor young officer didn't deserve to lose his life, and he did. And so it's really just, it's a uplifting story to see Dave Portnoy getting involved in Barstool Sports, getting involved to help, you know, sadly, this widow and her young child. Because now, unfortunately, she has to raise her child alone because, well, New York Democrats didn't want to offend criminals, and they wanted to release them continuously through reforms like criminal justice reform and whatnot. So it's a heartbreaking story that didn't have to take place, but it did. So that's everything that's going on right now around the country. I think probably the most important stuff that you should be paying attention to. We've got a lot of other topics that are going to be up for discussion just momentarily. Steve Baker's joining us tonight to discuss Harry Dunn, Officer Harry Dunn. He's running for Congress, and he just got the backing of former Speaker Nancy Pelosi. So we'll jump in with Steve Baker to detail just that. Plus, Steve Baker's been getting a lot of threats, and it's because he's doing incredible work regarding January 6th. So he's going to join us to detail that as well. Dr. Kirk Elliott's going to map out exactly how expensive things have gotten under Joe Biden. He'll join us in a moment. And in case you missed it, and I hope you didn't, but like most normal people, you do enjoy your weekends, you might have missed out on what took place over the weekend. Speaker Mike Johnson pushed forward billions of dollars in foreign aid for countries that would never do the same for us. And well, he didn't do anything for you. And I'll detail that in one of my latest pieces. So don't go anywhere, folks. We've got much more to unpack. We've got some very exciting news that we wanted to bring you. We have a very new sponsor of this show, and I'm very excited for it because, well, it's a product that I actually use, and so I'm very enthusiastic about this. This service from Dr. Syed Haider. Yes, he's one of my favorite. Let's head over to this website right now. It's My Go-To Doc. Now, Dr. Haider has been one of the doctors that I have strongly relied on, especially throughout the pandemic, because his services are incredible. He is one of the very, very few who pushed back during the pandemic by providing ivermectin to patients who needed it. And I probably could just assume he's probably saved hundreds of thousands of lives because of it. So I'm really excited for this new partnership. The website's called mygotodoc.com. And because now he's sponsoring our program, you guys benefit greatly off of this. You could save up to 10% off. So 10% off of all of the service that he provides by using the promo code BREE. That's B-R-E. And it's over at mygotodoc.com. Now, let me just walk you through his website a little bit because he's got so many services and I'm using a lot of them these days. Let me break down what I'm actually using. So during the pandemic, I needed ivermectin. My other doctor gave it to me and I needed like just to have it in the house. And that was very, very important to do so. So this is why it's such a great resource, because when you sign up for his services, you're actually going to get ivermectin. You're going to get a bunch of other medications that are really, really important and they're essential, especially during times like this. He's got all these great medical kits. There's so many to go. So let's say you're traveling and you want to prepare for your travels. This is a great way to do so. You'll get these antibiotics that are so important to wherever you're traveling around in the world, and just having them on hand could be life-saving. And so he has these three great kits that you could head over to mygotodoc.com and just take a look, look around. He's also going to be joining us later on in the week to tell us about all of his services because he's the expert, not me. But again, folks, you're going to get 10% off by using the promo code BREE. So I see you see these prices right now on your screen. I mean, this offer is incredible. This is going to be the same price as a regular doctor's visit. Plus, you're going to be able to stash away medications that you really will need. And you never know when they're going to cut us off, especially with ivermectin these days. And that's why I'm always making sure that I've got a supply. But let's go over. There's also other services he offers, health coaching. They also have a weight loss program that you learn more about. He also has supplements. There's so many different great products that he has on his website. And he is now a sponsor of our show. And so we're very, very thankful of that. So if you'd like to go take a look, and I highly recommend you do, because it's a lot of exciting things for those of you, maybe you're struggling with long COVID, you're looking for some relief from those symptoms, or if you're just looking to prevent getting sick in the near future, he's got all the tools that you need. Best way to go get those, head over to mygotodoc.com. That's mygotodoc.com. And then whenever you fill up your cart and you get everything that you're looking for, you guys can secure the 10% off by using promo code BREE. That's B-R-E. And I highly recommend you do, because that discount, it really goes far. You can use it on a lot of his services and treatments, and it's a great, great discount. So again, folks, mygotodoc.com, promo code BREE, that's B-R-E, to secure up to 10% off. We're very excited for this new sponsor. And, you know, Dr. Haider will be joining us later this week to discuss all of his services. So we're very excited about that. We'll be right back. Some House Republicans are hoping that you weren't paying attention to the news cycle and instead you were enjoying your weekends. So I'm here to tell you, if you were enjoying your weekends, you missed out on, well, something very discouraging. House Republicans worked with Democrats to push forward foreign aid. And that's why we've got our rhino alert.
He's worse than a rhino.
House Republicans worked besides Democrats to push forward foreign aid to the tune of $95 billion worth. And well, they did so with a smile on their face. Speaker Mike Johnson will tell you that this was a win for America, but it wasn't. Not a single dollar is going to a cause that you and I actually care about. Instead, it's going to feed the war machine. And keep in mind, this was all because Joe Biden wanted this money. He forced Speaker Mike Johnson to comply. This is the same regime that just 2 weeks ago told us that they couldn't refill our oil reserve because, well, it was too expensive. And remember, you guys, when they actually drained it, because, well, they wanted political wins before major elections. They wanted to drive down the costs and the expense of gas. Well, now we can't afford to refill it. But don't worry, we can afford to fund the war machines all around the world. And interesting enough, members of Congress were very, very excited about this. In fact, Democrats brought the Ukrainian flag out onto the House floor and started waving it. Because as many of you know, House Democrats, they love other flags except their own. They'll throw up the Gaza flag, they'll throw up the LGBT whatever flag, they'll throw up the Ukrainian flag, but they'll never throw up the American flag because they don't love America. They hate it. So let's talk about what was actually in this foreign aid funding. Well, nothing you and I would support, of course. Ultimately, we're giving $8.12 billion worth of aid to Taiwan. We're also giving $61.7 billion to Ukraine. And we're also giving, and this one's a big one, folks, don't miss out this number, $6 billion allegedly to NGO groups linked to Hamas. Again, $6 billion to NGO groups linked to Hamas. And well, of course, we're also going to throw in some funding to the World Bank because, well, why not? So ultimately, yes, this is discouraging because, again, we elected House Republicans and we gave them the majority. And as a result, they then elected Speaker Mike Johnson to the speakership. And what did we get in return? Well, a knife in the back. That's exactly what's happening right now in our country. Speaker Mike Johnson doesn't give a damn about American values. It's disturbing, but it's expected. For some reason, once someone gets their hands on those gavel, they just completely flip. Mike Johnson, in a matter of 6 months, went from America first to America last. And that's the man who's currently leading the House. He's prioritized things just like that and waiving your Fourth Amendment rights, but he's deprioritizing standing up for the Constitution and standing up for American values. At this point, Speaker Mike Johnson might as well be disbarred because, well, he doesn't give a rat's ass about the Constitution, and that's just the reality behind it. Now, it's also important to remember the fact that this foreign aid does nothing for our veterans, you know, the thousands who are homeless living on the streets around the country, nothing. They don't get a dollar of that. They will continue to live off the streets, and there's nothing Speaker Mike Johnson will do to help them. That's just the reality going on right now in our country. We don't care about Americans. We care about every other country except our own. And that's what we're going through right now. Now, thankfully, we do have some sensible members of Congress. And that's why we turn to Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, who, again, is pushing forward a motion to vacate the speaker. Take a listen.
Mike Johnson has betrayed America. He's betrayed Republican voters. Under his leadership, he's passed the Democrat agenda, passed the Biden administration's policies, and fully funded them. We're going to fight in Congress to do everything we can to stop this type of uniparty leadership. Mike Johnson's speakership is over. He needs to do the right thing to resign and allow us to move forward in a controlled process. Yeah. If he doesn't do so, he will be vacated.
Well, with all due respect, you didn't give me a plan for the speaker's role. And again, does this mean you are going to file that motion at some point?
It's coming regardless of what Mike Johnson decides to do. And we have three more Republicans joining us from special elections coming up very soon.
Now, do I necessarily support that? It's a toss-up, because right now we've allowed House Republicans to forfeit the majority right now in Congress. As many of you know, they have completely given away their majority by resigning. You know, people like Kevin McCarthy, who had his feelings hurt because, well, Matt Gaetz was mean to him, so he resigned. Then you had Michael Gallagher, who was also upset and had his feelings hurt, so he might be in the private sector now, who knows? And then you have people like Ken Buck, and the list goes on and on. But they've all forfeited the majority. and they know exactly what they're doing. So let's say we do get our way and we do get a toss Speaker Mike Johnson. Well, I hate to tell you, America, you might get a Democrat back in the speaker role, and that would be horrible. But then again, would it? I mean, would you even notice a difference between Speaker Mike Johnson and anyone else on the left? Well, probably not, because Mike Johnson's doing everything the left wants him to do, and that's his role. So ultimately, what do we have here? Well, we have a situation where we will not end this corruption. We don't have anyone brazen enough holding the gavel right now, and they comply with whatever Joe Biden wants him to do. That's not why you elected Speaker Mike Johnson or any of these House Republicans to head over to DC. You didn't elect them because you wanted them just to comply with Joe Biden's regime's agenda. You didn't do that. That wasn't what you did when you voted for them. So when they sit there and look in the eyes on November and tell you to vote for us so we could fix all the corrupt issues, remember this, folks. Joe Biden's just the face of it. House Republicans don't push back. And well, what will November fix? Because we've allowed them to steal our elections without getting much pushback. We've allowed them to do whatever they want to do in Congress, spend all of our money in Congress, throw us into debt, and they don't care. So November, I'm optimistic. We might get President Trump in the White House if they let him. But ultimately, what else are they going to do? We know Democrats aren't giving up the Senate. We know they're not going to give up the House. They're going to try to steal the elections and steal all of them. And we know Republicans are too spineless to push back. And that's the reality we're dealing with right now. So buckle up, folks. We've got a couple of days before November, of course. So it's going to be a bumpy ride. Well, one of the qualifications for running for Congress is you have to be a liar. And the other ones, you got to be dumb. And that's why Harry Dunn, running for Congress in Maryland, is perfect. And well, he's just earned the endorsement of none other than former Speaker Nancy Pelosi, of course. Joining me to discuss all things Harry Dunn is Steve Baker. Steve Baker is one of the great journalists over at The Blaze. He joins us as he's heading on the road right now, of course, following more and more great stories. And that's why we love him so much. Steve, thank you for taking a break to join us. We appreciate it.
Brianna, thanks for having me.
I'm really excited for this. So Harry Dunn is running for Congress in Maryland, and he just got the blessing of Speaker, our former Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, of course. And well, he's really the perfect candidate because you have to be either a liar and or dumb to run for Congress these days, it seems like, especially as a Democrat. And he seems to have both covered. Now, you've done extensive reporting regarding just Harry Dunn and all the lies he's told with his book, whether he was testifying. I mean, he's told a lot of lies and you've dug into them. So help our audience understand. Give us some of the lies that you've caught on to him, maybe your top three favorite, because there's a long list, and detail those for us, because we'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, when you say the top three, that's leaving out the other 300 that he, you know, that he covers in his book and trial testimonies, congressional testimonies, and the like. But the bottom line is that when I was covering the Oath Keepers trial back in October, November of 22, he testified on Halloween, October 31st, and there was something wrong with his testimony. I was already queued up on that because he was a real key witness in that trial because four of the Oath Keepers had encountered him inside the Capitol. And when they did, they noticed that he was highly distressed, carrying an automatic rifle. He was responding in a very agitated way to the crowd, and they were worried about him. And so what ended up happening is the four Oath Keepers formed a line of protection with their back to him. He was at the top of a staircase just off of the large rotunda, and they formed a line between him and kept more, you know, hostile, agitated protesters that were shouting, you know, they were shouting at him and taunting him, and they kept them off of him. In fact, a couple of them even used their bodies to keep protesters away from Harry Dunn, not just to protect them or to protect Harry from them, but to protect them from Harry, because he was obviously in a high state of stress. And so after they did that, these Oath Keepers drove home thinking that, you know, they were going to get a medal for having defused a very volatile, potentially deadly situation. And instead, we know the story. They ended up getting arrested, charged with seditious conspiracy and the like. So with that background laid, I began the process of trying to figure out who Harry was and what, you know, what prompted him to change his story from his first FBI interview, where he said that it was, in fact, an agreeable encounter and that he allowed them to stand the line in front of him, and that it was a, you know, it was a favorable testimony originally to the FBI. But they brought him back in a couple of months later for a second interview, and the story flipped 180 degrees out of phase, and he turned it into a contentious encounter with them. And as a result of that, that was why they had him in the trial, was to bring a, you know, a inculpatory, as they say, or a negative testimony about his encounter with the Oath Keepers. Well, the video evidence says that that's not correct. But then, of course, a few months later, I got access to the Capitol CCTV, and I began tracking Harry through the day. And then I got access to a early copy of his book that came out last October. And then it just really exploded. And in terms of the top three of his lies, I mean, the first one obviously is his lie about his encounter with the Oath Keepers, because that lie contributed to putting some of those men and women into prison for decades. The second of all of the lies, I would say, I would characterize it in this manner, is that literally everything that he says that he did, particularly his alleged or his, you know, his famed heroism of the day. He is the hero of January 6th. He's won a congressional medal. He's been presented a presidential medal. He has been given a book deal, and now he's running for Congress. And the reality is that every single thing that he said he did that day, the video evidence, the Capitol CCTV video evidence, proves that to be a lie. And that is highly damning. And I could go down incident after incident after incident of things that he said that he did, encounters that he had, his bravery. It all falls apart, because the reality is he spent most of the day hiding from the protesters, rather engaging with them, and rather than, quote unquote, protecting democracy, as he is alleged to have done.
Yeah. And I think that's what's so interesting about all of this, because you detail, I mean, I won't read his book. I'll spare my brain cells, but you've done the hard work of reading his book, and you've walked us through a lot of the lies. I mean, thankfully, we now have access to all of the critical CCTV footage, because that footage reveals a lot of the nonsense that he was spewing in his book. Just simple things like regarding being in a theater room for early, I guess, like a meeting, like a staffing meeting. And then he wasn't, there was nobody using the theater room, is what you've uncovered through just looking at the footage from the room. And it's like, how can somebody lie this much? And why would he be lying this much? I mean, we could speculate all day, but it's clear that you don't earn the endorsement of Nancy Pelosi in your congressional campaign if you haven't done favors. I mean, that's how this political world works. So, I mean, this is me speculating here. Potentially, it could have been an IOU, but it's not even just that. I mean, the details, you detail this out, and you map it out pretty well for us, about how he was claiming to, even at one point, that he was walking around with, I guess, not armed or whatever. And then, but he was walking around when he found out his footage at 11 a.m. on camera. He was in his book bag, had his personal bag on him. He wasn't dressed up like how he stated he was. And it just, the list just goes on and on. Why do you think he did all these lies? Because it just doesn't make sense, as if he didn't know there was cameras everywhere. Do you think he just didn't think that journalists would get access to the footage? Is that why?
Yeah, well, first of all, I don't think that they ever thought that they would lose control of that video. I don't think, because most of that video, well, Capitol CCTV video is very, very rarely ever shown to the public. And plus, they probably never believed that the Democrats would lose control of the House as they did in January of last year. And they certainly didn't believe that this video would come out, certainly not from the sensitive areas of the Capitol, that sort of thing. And what happened is, when he first came into the public spotlight, it was the story of his having been, as he alleged, chanted, had the N-word chanted at him by, as he says, 20, 30, as many as 50 people. This is what he says in media appearances, dozens of media appearances. And I think that after he threw that out there, and then he was highly sympathized with by the mainstream media, and he was made a public figure, then the next thing he had to do was create an aura of heroism that was completely made up out of thin air, because he was not a hero. There were Capitol Police officers that were heroes that day. He was not one of them. And as I said, he began the process of creating an entire sequence of events to make him look like, in fact, he was this brave soul that went to battle with the, you know, the protesters and the rioters and the mob, as they say, the insurrectionists, when in fact he spent most of the day hiding from them by evidence of the video. More interestingly than that, Brianna, is this, is that for months now, since we first started rolling out our stories about Harry Dunn, I have been challenging the mainstream media because they have access to the CCTV as well. I've challenged the sedition hunters. I've challenged the Capitol Police themselves to roll out the video evidence of his heroism and the acts of bravery that he details in his book, and nobody has done it yet. In fact, the dozens and dozens and dozens of MSM appearances that he's made, you'll note that not one single time is there ever 1 minute, 1 second of accompanying video of him doing the things that he claimed to do, either in congressional testimony, trial testimonies, or those many statements that he makes in his book.
Yeah. Yeah. No surprise there. I mean, when it comes to, you know, beefing up your resume as a congressional candidate, he's giving George Santos a run for his money for sure. And I think it's also interesting to understand that this man was working with Capitol Police for over 16 years and was, as you've highlighted, was never promoted. And that's really what's interesting here. So he's never promoted beyond the rank of private. And you highlight that in your tweet thread. Again, folks, I recommend you head over to his Twitter page to read everything because you detail everything for us there. But Steve, you also have a story that you just recently put out as of today, and you're detailing all of the crazies who have come up to you and have gone after you since coming forward as a J6 journalist and putting your work out there. And, you know, I know you kind of get a little bit of a weirdo crowd who follows you, but then it also becomes not only just weirdos, but people threatening you. So walk us through what's happened since you've kind of come forward as a J6 journalist and started uncovering all of these lies, because I think it's really interesting and our audience should hear how horrible this is.
Yeah, one of the interesting things and sad aspects of what they call the J6 community is it's a very divided community. Everybody has different agendas. There are, in fact, grifters within the community. And then, of course, there are people with different agendas, or unknown and known. And then you have the people that have their conspiracy theories, and then they bring you leads. And there's almost a and I detail this in this article that was published on The Blaze today. Almost a day, not a day goes by that I don't have somebody sending me leads about what they think is the key factor or case or incident that's going to crack January 6th wide open. And most of the time, these are theories they have, they are ideas they have, but what they send me is not based in any facts, and they don't provide any facts. If they provided me something, I would, you know, I'd be more than willing to look at it for them, especially with the access that I have to video and other evidence related to January 6th. But when you don't take their story, then suddenly they go on to X and other social media platforms, and then they accuse you of being part of the controlled opposition and trying to hide their big find from the world, and that I'm obsessing over Capitol Police or other details that are not really the important stories. And that's the kind of thing you deal with when you're dealing with these individuals. But then sometimes it gets worse. Sometimes I've had two different people now who have gotten onto airplanes unannounced and flown across the country to confront me, one time at the courthouse in D.C. because I had posted that I was going to be there covering a particular trial or sentencing hearing, and somebody showed up to confront me there in the courthouse. Just recently, I was in Dallas, and somebody got on the plane from Atlanta. This, you know, conspiracy nut got on the plane from Atlanta, flew out there, posted a series of videos on his X account saying that he was going to confront me and Glenn Beck, and that we were controlled opposition and we were part of all these, you know, radical subversive groups trying to take down Trump and take down America and hide the truth. And he actually showed up at the Blaze studios, fortunately, our security guard there interdicted that attempt for him to get inside and sent him scurrying away, frightened. But the gist of this story, by virtue of the headline, "No Good Deed Goes Unpunished," was an actual story that I took because an actual convicted J6 defendant had called me up and gave me a very believable accounting of his personal actions and activities that day while he was inside the Capitol. And he believed that Capitol CCTV would actually exonerate him, but he had already been convicted and his sentencing hearing was coming up. And he was trying to either convince the judge to give him a retrial or somehow this might help him in his sentencing. And so he was highly believable. I took his story. I took two Blaze video analysts with me to D.C. And we spent two whole days there, Brianna, looking through and tracking him, his every action, not just on Capitol CCTV, but also from other open source video. And it turns out the story, either he believed he did that day, his own acts of heroism where he was supposedly protecting and helping law enforcement inside the Capitol, either he believed it and his brain was Swiss cheese because of all the other things that were going on around him, or he made up a tale. I don't know. He seemed, as I said, highly believable. But the fact is that the video evidence did not stand up to the truth of his story. And when I gave him the reality, the bad news, and I tried to break it to him as gently as I could, but when I gave him the information that, sorry, but this video does not exonerate you, it is not exculpatory evidence, and then he started the process of attacking me and my attorney online and saying that we were hiding exculpatory evidence that would have exonerated him, and that we threw him under the bus. And in fact, he went so far as to say that myself and my attorney did this to him on purpose to make it easier for me and better for me in my case, which, you know, nothing could be further from the truth. I've had no problem poking the DOJ, FBI bear in the eye for the last 3 years. I'm not worried about my case.
Yeah. I think it's so interesting, right? Getting involved and just as a journalist from a journalist angle, I got to say, getting involved, I've met some incredible people, part of this J6 community. There are some amazing people who I'll probably be lifelong friends with, I feel like. But then you do get the others who come in, and there's lots of grifters, because sadly, there's so many Americans who are kind enough to donate and kind enough to support them. And there are people out there who are being inappropriate with it. I mean, your name, my name ended up in a tweet. I won't say this person's name because he's a clout chaser, but he put our names in something because I don't know why yours, and you don't have to share, but mine specifically, because he sent me messages from jail. Apparently he's sitting in jail, allegedly sitting in jail, but he's able to somehow DM me directly on Twitter. And he wanted to come on my show to talk about his story, but there's a lot of holes in it. Plus he's somebody accused of violence. And so obviously as a journalist, the first thing that goes off my head is, how does someone get a cell phone or get access to Twitter in jail? And that's not somebody I want to associate myself with, because that probably means there's something wrong here. So there's a lot of people out there from that went after and attacked me and a group of others for not wanting to speak to him. But we're journalists. It's our job to sit here and to pick which stories we want to cover and pick them based on, do the facts line up here? Because we're not activists. We're just people who are kind-hearted and wanted to go through the stories. And so we can be selective and we can decide who we want to have on our show, whose stories we want to cover. Because if the facts align, I have no problem covering a story. But when you're somebody who's being misleading, or you're just like telling us something existed when it doesn't, we're not going to cover that. That's not journalism. That's not what you and I do, Steve. And so I'm glad that you toe the line. You tell them, no, we're not going to do it because I don't have the facts to back up your claims. And if they're heard about it, then tough luck. I don't know what else to tell people. I mean, we try so hard to fight for everyday Americans. Sure. I stay in touch with J6ers through mail and through, you know, emailing them and all these other things to make sure that they're okay. So if a couple of people think that we're bad apples, screw them. I don't care. We do what's best. We hold journalistic ethics, and it's what we could do. It's the best we could do. So, you know, I'm glad you're out there, Steve. I'm glad you're digging through it. Yeah, go.
And we have limited time. There's no way for us to cover every story and cover every defendant and cover every single case and every incident that took place that day. And not only that, it's not the only thing that I do. I know it seems like in the last couple of years I've been a J6 one-note samba, but I still do other things. And I still write other stories about non-J6 related topics. But the point being is that you only have so much time in a day, so much time in a week. And like, for instance, the David Lazarus story, the Capitol Police special agent who was on Nancy Pelosi's security detail, who perjured himself in that Oath Keepers trial as well. It took me a year, a solid year, to investigate that, to get all the I's dotted, all the T's crossed, and then to finally bring it to the American public. Some of this takes a lot of time and a lot of work, and we just can't chase every single idea, thought, story, theory that is brought to us.
Yeah, and that's just the reality. It takes a lot of work to put into it. And I know you're doing a lot of great work. You're in DC, you're watching all the camera footage, you're going through it all. It takes hours, days to do. And so we're so thankful that, Steve, that you are out there doing this, because not many people can, and not many people are willing to do so. And, you know, we see what you're going through, and that's why we try our best to support you, because, well, if you weren't doing great work, the Department of Justice wouldn't be going after you. That's just how things work, sadly, in this regime. Yeah. So we'll see, Steve, but keep up the great work. I know you're traveling, so we appreciate you stopping by to talk to us. Thank you for everything you're doing. And guys, folks, head over to The Blaze. That's where all of his content is. You got to head over to read the very latest. Go through all the details of his reporting, too, if you missed out on any of this, because I'm telling you, it is a complete bombshell when he's detailing how the DOJ committed perjury by putting two witnesses on the stand that we now know were lying. So thank you, Steve, for everything you're doing. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Brianna.
And if you enjoyed that interview, make sure you hit that subscribe button right now. And if you're listening on Rumble or YouTube or any of the popular podcasting platforms, make sure you give us a thumbs up and a 5-star review. We greatly appreciate that. Of course, you can do it for every single episode, so make sure you do so. And if you're looking to support independent journalists, I've got a very unique way that you could do so, and it helps us out directly. You can head over to supportbree.com. That's supportbree.com. And you can make a one-time donation or a monthly donation, whatever you'd like to give us. And you also get to pick the dollar amount. So again, folks, it's supportbree.com. That's the best way you can support this show. We'll be right back. Mother's Day is just 20 days away. Did you get that, guys? 20 days away. And if you haven't gotten your mother, your wife, or your girlfriend a gift right now, well, I've got the best idea for you. It's what I'm loving these days. It's my Givaderm skincare routine. Now, the company's fluent in sarcasm, which I obviously appreciate, but they've got the best natural skincare products. I use this every day in the morning and the evening, and so I'd highly recommend it to you guys as well. Let me walk you guys through their website a bit, because I think everyone really needs to give this a look. It is a natural skincare routine, so you're not getting all of those nasty additives from those Chinese-based companies. They're based here in the U.S., and they're giving you the best products possible. Now, let me walk you through some of my favorites, because there's a very, very, there's a lot going on the website. So a couple of my favorites that I think that you guys should take a look at. I'm loving my Mother Plumper. Again, folks, told you they're fluent in sarcasm. My skin feels amazing. It feels like it feels fuller, my skin. It doesn't feel dry and kind of, it feels fuller. And that's the best way to kind of describe it. I would also head over there and get the Mother Slugger, another one that's amazing. I mean, when you use this product, I'm telling you guys, your skin is going to feel so, so soft. Your mother's going to love it, or your wife. She's going to love it. Also, my favorite, if you're looking for this, it could go for gentlemen, you too. It doesn't just have to be the ladies. It's this natural deodorant, and it's called Pits Me Off. You got that right. Pits Me Off. The bottle's incredible. It is one of my favorites because, well, it's natural, it doesn't smell, doesn't leave any nasty residues, and it's amazing. It's a total game changer. You're not putting those nasty chemicals on your body, which so many of us are worried about these days. So that's a really good get. And they even have these great kits, which I'd highly recommend. So if you're looking for like a way to kind of try out the 5-care skincare routine, which I do, again, folks, in the morning and the evening, this is the best way to do so. I use the facial edition system, and ultimately you get the 5 best products they have right now on the website. They've given you a great discount, but they're also going to let you, just because you're listening to us today, get another discount on top of it all when you use promo code Brianna. That's BREANNA, you're going to get an extra 10% off. So again, you have to use promo code Brianna. That's BREANNA. You're going to get that 5-care step system. You're also going to get the 10% off, and it's on sale right now. So that's really, really kind of them to use. In it, you get the clay cleanser, the vitamin C serum, the uplift, the bamboo mist, and then the nourish, which is amazing, like I told you guys. And then once you guys head over there, you fill up your cart, which I highly recommend you do because I love it myself. You then head at the checkout and use that promo code Brianna to get 10% off. I highly recommend it. I mean, look, we have it now in our cart and I've just saved $34. It's amazing. I highly recommend it. So again, folks, if you're looking for a Mother's Day gift, this is it. Head over to Give a Derm. That's Give A, as in the letter A, DERM.com and fill up your cart and make sure you use that discount, of course, because who doesn't love discounts? And that one is Brianna, BREANNA. We'll be right back. Some House Republicans are hoping that you weren't paying attention to the news cycle and instead you were enjoying your weekends. So I'm here to tell you, if you were enjoying your weekends, you missed out on, well, something very discouraging. House Republicans worked with Democrats to push forward foreign aid. And that's why we've got our rhino alert.
He's worse than a rhino.
House Republicans worked besides Democrats to push forward foreign aid to the tune of $95 billion worth. And well, they did so with a smile on their face. Speaker Mike Johnson will tell you that this was a win for America, but it wasn't. Not a single dollar is going to a cause that you and I actually care about. Instead, it's going to feed the war machine. And keep in mind, this was all because Joe Biden wanted this money. He forced Speaker Mike Johnson to comply. This is the same regime that just 2 weeks ago told us that they couldn't refill our oil reserve because, well, it was too expensive. And remember, you guys, when they actually drained it, because, well, they wanted political wins before major elections. They wanted to drive down the costs and the expense of gas. Well, now we can't afford to refill it. But don't worry, we can afford to fund the war machines all around the world. And interesting enough, members of Congress were very, very excited about this. In fact, Democrats brought the Ukrainian flag out onto the House floor and started waving it. Because as many of you know, House Democrats, they love other flags except their own. They'll throw up the Gaza flag. They'll throw up the LGBT whatever flag. They'll throw up the Ukrainian flag. But they'll never throw up the American flag because they don't love America. They hate it. So let's talk about what was actually in this foreign aid funding. Well, nothing you and I would support, of course. Ultimately, we're giving $8.12 billion worth of aid to Taiwan. We're also giving $61.7 billion to Ukraine. And we're also giving, and this one's a big one, folks, don't miss out this number, $6 billion allegedly to NGO groups linked to Hamas. Again, $6 billion to NGO groups linked to Hamas. And well, of course, we're also going to throw in some funding to the World Bank because, well, why not? So ultimately, yes, this is discouraging because again, we elected House Republicans and we gave them the majority. And as a result, they then elected Speaker Mike Johnson to the speakership. And what did we get in return? Well, a knife in the back. That's exactly what's happening right now in our country. Speaker Mike Johnson doesn't give a damn about American values. It's disturbing, but it's expected. For some reason, once someone gets their hands on those gavel, they just completely flip. Mike Johnson, in a matter of 6 months, went from America first to America last. And that's the man who's currently leading the House. He's prioritized things just like that and waiving your Fourth Amendment rights, but he's deprioritizing standing up for the Constitution and standing up for American values. At this point, Speaker Mike Johnson might as well be disbarred because, well, he doesn't give a rat's ass about the Constitution, and that's just the reality behind it. Now, it's also important to remember the fact that this foreign aid does nothing for our veterans, you know, the thousands who are homeless living on the streets around the country, nothing. They don't get a dollar of that. They will continue to live off the streets, and there's nothing Speaker Mike Johnson will do to help them. That's just the reality going on right now in our country. We don't care about Americans. We care about every other country except our own. And that's what we're going through right now. Now, thankfully, we do have some sensible members of Congress. And that's why we turn to Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, who, again, is pushing forward a motion to vacate the speaker. Take a listen.
Mike Johnson has betrayed America. He's betrayed Republican voters. Under his leadership, he's passed the Democrat agenda, passed the Biden administration's policies, and fully funded them. We're going to fight in Congress to do everything we can to stop this type of uniparty leadership Mike Johnson's speakership is over. He needs to do the right thing to resign and allow us to move forward in a controlled process.
Yeah.
If he doesn't do so, he will be vacated.
Well, with all due respect, you didn't give me a plan for the speaker's role. And again, does this mean you are going to file that motion at some point?
It's coming regardless of what Mike Johnson decides to do. And we have three more Republicans joining us from special elections coming up very soon.
Now, do I necessarily support that? It's a toss-up, because right now we've allowed House Republicans to forfeit the majority right now in Congress. As many of you know, they have completely given away their majority by resigning. You know, people like Kevin McCarthy, who had his feelings hurt because, well, Matt Gaetz was mean to him, so he resigns. Then you had Michael Gallagher, who was also upset, had his feelings hurt, so he might be in the private sector now, who knows? And then you have people like Ken Buck, and the list goes on and on. But they've all forfeited the majority, and they know exactly what they're doing. So let's say we do get our way, and we do get a toss Speaker Mike Johnson. Well, I hate to tell you, America, you might get a Democrat back in the Speaker role. And that would be horrible. But then again, would it? I mean, would you even notice a difference between Speaker Mike Johnson and anyone else on the left? Well, probably not, because Mike Johnson's doing everything the left wants him to do, and that's his role. So ultimately, what do we have here? Well, we have a situation where we will not end this corruption. We don't have anyone brazen enough holding the gavel right now, and they comply with whatever Joe Biden wants him to do. That's not why you elected Speaker Mike Johnson or any of these House Republicans to head over to DC. You didn't elect them because you wanted them just to comply with Joe Biden's regime's agenda. You didn't do that. That wasn't what you did when you voted for them. So when they sit there and look in the eyes on November and tell you to vote for us so we could fix all the corrupt issues, remember this, folks. Joe Biden's just the face of it. House Republicans don't push back. And, well, what will November fix? Because we've allowed them to steal our elections without getting much pushback. We've allowed them to do whatever they want to do in Congress, spend all of our money in Congress, throw us into debt, and they don't care. So November, I'm optimistic we might get President Trump in the White House if they let him. But ultimately, what else are they going to do? We know Democrats aren't giving up the Senate. We know they're not going to give up the House. They're going to try to steal the elections and steal all of them. And we know Republicans are too spineless to push back. And that's the reality we're dealing with right now. So buckle up, folks. We've got a couple of days before November, of course. So it's going to be a bumpy ride. Well, if you're starting to kind of get the gist of things, everything's getting a little bit more expensive under Joe Biden. And it's not just, you know, your gut telling you that. There's actual facts to back it up. Under Joe Biden, things have gotten three times more expensive. And, well, there's a great list of details that just kind of break all of that down for us. Joining us to discuss is Dr. Kirk Elliott. Dr. Kirk Elliott is one of my favorite go-tos whenever I want to talk about the economy. So we're so happy he's here with us today. I want to jump into this, Dr. Kirk, because, well, it's very, very interesting. We've all kind of know that things are getting a little bit more expensive under Joe, but there's actual data points to break it all down. So walk us through it a little bit. Tell us how this is all playing out.
Well, I would say a little bit more than a little bit more expensive. The numbers are showing like three times more expensive.
Yeah.
So how much difference does a leader make, right? When you've got Trump, who was growing the economy, who cared about America more than the rest of the world, versus being a nationalist type president versus a globalist type president who cares about the rest of the world more than his own country, right? Yeah. Funding all these stimulus programs, everything else, they print money like there's no tomorrow. That causes inflation, right? So I don't believe for a second, not a second. And the reason why we want to talk about this right now is because it's an election year and politicians are going to be talking about the economy a bit. Even Bill Clinton, you know, said one of the best lines ever. It's like, it's the economy, stupid, you know, and he's right. People are going to vote with their wallets, right? So let's look at gas prices, for example. Okay. So under Trump, gas was up $2.40, or the average was $2.42 a gallon. Under Joe Biden, $3.54 is the average. That's up 46%. I don't buy it for a second that inflation's only 3.2%.
Yeah.
I mean, that's up a lot. Mm-hmm. But it gets worse. I mean, it sounds like a cheesy game show host here, because there's always going to be something behind the next door, Brianna. But But look at mortgage rates. This is a big one because mortgage, you know, your mortgage payment for most people is the largest payment that you have every month, right? So when Trump started his presidency in 2017, average mortgage rate was 4.1% on a 30-year mortgage. By the time he was done, January 21st of 2021, 2.8%. It was down 32%, where Biden started at 2.8% because that's where Trump ended. And now it's 6.8. So mortgage rates under him are up 146%. Why? Because they're printing money like there's no tomorrow to fund every stimulus under the sun. Yeah. Right. And so you have to use raising interest rates to slow down that inflation. That's the policy mechanism that they use. So it's no wonder housing prices are 146% more to borrow than it was before because of the policies coming out of DC to try to fund everything that they possibly can. Right. I mean, that's a brutal combination. And, you know, but there's sadly more to this story. So because everything's more expensive, right? What were savings? Like you look at savings under Trump, they were up 129%. Under Biden, they're down 72%. What does that mean? People can't afford to live. They're pulling money out of their savings every single month after month after month after month just to make ends meet. So Trump, a growing economy. Biden, a shrinking economy. Trump, people could afford to live and they were spending. Biden, they can't afford to live and they're pulling out of their savings, their rainy day funds, which adds more stress and everything to their lives. Now, so you look at this kind of stuff and, well, people can't afford. Well, why? Well, wages are coming down. Mm-hmm. So under Biden, you look at this chart and these are quarterly numbers, people's average real earnings. Every quarter after quarter after quarter for the last 13 quarters, as long as he's been president, down between $300 and $400 per quarter. You multiply that for a year, people's wages are down, well, for a quarter, four, eight, 12, 16, about $1,600 a year, right, is what their wages are coming down while prices are going through the roof. As we started the show, prices under Biden for things are up over three times as fast as what they were under Trump, right? So you've got declining wages, increasing prices. I mean, does this sound good?
No, it doesn't at all.
About how great the economy is, how people are working, how they've tamed the inflationary beast. And so, but they haven't. If they've tamed the inflationary beast, they would actually start lowering interest rates. Why do they keep pausing every single month at the Fed? And they said, well, we were going to lower interest rates, but we're just going to pause because they've got a huge catch 22. If you lower interest rates when you haven't killed inflation, inflation explodes. If you raise interest rates when we're in debt up to our eyeballs, you create a huge recession / depression. So they can't do either one. So they do nothing. They're just like, we're just going to pause, right? Acting like financial geniuses. No, they just don't know what to do because either one of their consequences, because it's gotten so out of control and Biden's not growing the economy that they just say, okay, let's just stay at these higher interest rates for longer. We're not going to do anything. Well, that's the problem that we're in right now. And this is where for Americans who are living hand to mouth, paycheck to paycheck, Biden's economy is horrible, not just for the present, but for the future, which is why we need economic growth back rapidly. Morgan Stanley just came out this morning with their new data that said, if we don't get control of our unsustainable debt here in America, it's over in 2 years.
Yeah.
What's over? Our economy. America as we know it, if we can't pay off our unsustainable debt, it's over. No other country is going to want to invest in U.S. treasuries anymore. What Biden's doing is not going to do anything to basically fix our debt. In fact, everything he's doing is adding to it. Look at his new budget. His new budget, $7.8 trillion, I think, and we're supposed to bring in like $5 trillion. You know, it's like, good grief, that's $2.8 trillion in the hole. That is not fixing the debt situation. It keeps adding to it. We have problems, Brianna, unless we get a new president and a new Congress in who can control spending and have policies of lowering interest rates, lowering taxes, creating jobs, and creating economic growth. America is going down a fateful path. So, I mean, that's the ugly state of the economy right now.
Yeah. I mean, we see it everywhere. I know our audience is completely in the loop on this one because, well, everyone is now, you know, you have to get involved with the economy updates these days because it affects everything from gas to just food expenses. Everything has skyrocketed and it's really hard for just average Americans to buckle down and to figure out how they're going to pay for things. And it doesn't help when Congress prioritizes spending over $95 billion in foreign aid. It's only making it worse. It's just hard to even talk about this. Dr. Kirk Elliott, how do we kind of give our audience a piece of advice on what they should be looking to do right now? Because, well, we like solutions on this show. We don't want it to be just a bunch of Debbie Downers talking about how horrible Joe Biden is. We're all about the solutions. So what should they be looking for?
Yeah, well, we have to paint the problem before you can actually understand the solution. So everything that we just talked about caused stocks, bonds, mutual funds to come down. Every one of those policies actually caused gold and silver to go up, including the war that we've got, the conflict with Iran and Israel. Tension, uncertainty causes gold and silver to go up. We've got that. This is why over the last 60 days, silver's up over 30%. It's why almost day after day after day, gold keeps meeting new highs, like historical highs. There's a reason for this is because the worse things get economically, the better gold and silver perform. General rule of thumb. So we can have a smile on our face, protect, preserve. You just have to reallocate into strength and get out of weakness if you want your portfolio to shine during these dark times.
Yeah. And I think that's really, really important. So I wanted to direct our audience over to briannagold.com. That's where they could get in touch with your team. So Brianna, B-R-E-A-N-N-A, gold.com. Just a little form. You fill it out. They'll reach out to you, they'll schedule an appointment, and then they'll schedule a meeting with you. And I think it's really important to talk to people about these things because, well, we all need to come up with a plan. We all just can't be sitting here waiting and hoping maybe, you know, Trump gets elected in November to save us all. It might be too late by then. We just never know. So the best thing to do is to come up with a plan. I know I've reached out to you. We've talked about my financial goals to purchase a home and how I go about doing so. So again, folks, if you're looking to talk to Dr. Kirk Elliott and a member of his team, I highly recommend you head over to briannagold.com right now. Fill out that form. Let them know your good friend Brianna sent you over and just reach out. The hardest part is literally just filling out the form. They'll talk to you. It's not a high pressure phone call. They just go over what your goals are and give you some of their insight. Dr. Kirk Elliott, I love speaking to you because you know it all. You got it all going on. So thank you so much for joining us today.
You bet. You have an awesome day.
And if you enjoyed that segment, make sure you hit that like button. And if you want to see the news before it becomes the news, you have to subscribe to our channel. And well, if you have a liberal friend that you're looking to save, make sure you share this content with them.